46th chapter, subject Uddhava visiting Vrindavan. When Nanda Maharaj returned to Vrindavan without Krishna Balaram, only accompanied by the cowherds, boys and men, it was certainly a very, very pathetic scene for all the gopis and Mother Yashoda and Srimati Radharani and all other inhabitants of the residence of Vrindavan and many devotees have tried to adjust how Krishna could be away from Vrindavan. According to expert opinion, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, never goes even a step out of Vrindavan. He always remains there. Under this expert opinion, Krishna was actually not absent from Vrindavan, but he came back with Nanda Maharaj as promised by him. When he was going to Mathura on a chariot of driven by Akrura, at that time all the gopis were practically blocking the way, but Krishna assured them that he was coming back just after finishing the business in Mathura. They should not be so much overwhelmed. In this way, Krishna pacified them. But when he did not come back with Nanda Maharaj, it appears either he cheated them or he could not keep his promise. But expert devotees have decided that Krishna neither can be cheated nor can he break his promise, but Krishna in his original identity returned back with Nanda Maharaj and was staying with the gopis and Mother Yashoda in bhava expanse. In other words, Krishna and Balaram, who remain in Mathura, they are not original Krishna and Balaram, but they are the expansion of Krishna and Balaram, namely Vasudev and Sankarsana. Real Krishna and Balaram was in Vrindavan in bhava, a manifestation, whereas in Mathura the Krishna and Balaram was prabhav and vaibhav. This is a expert opinion of devotees of Krishna. Externally, when Nanda Maharaj was coming back, there was a discussion between him and Krishna Balaram, how they could be separated. But the conclusion was adopted by mutual agreement, because Vasudev and Devaki happened to be the real father of Krishna and Balaram. They wanted to keep them now on account of the death of Kansa, Deni. They were kept under the protection of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan for fear of Kansa. Now naturally, the father and mother of Krishna them specifically for the reformatory function, such as to purify them with sacred trade ceremony and to give them education as a duty of the father. Besides that, there are other considerations. Kamsa being killed by Krishna, all the friends of Krishna outside Mathura, they are also planning to attack Mathura. In that sense, Krishna's presence was required. Krishna did not like that Vrindavan should be disturbed by the enemies like Dantavakra and Jarasandha, because if Krishna would have gone to Vrindavan, they would not only attack Mathura, but they would proceed up to Vrindavan, and the peaceful inhabitants of Vrindavan, absorbed in Krishna thought, would have been disturbed. So he decided to remain in Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj came back, but although they had feeling separation of Krishna, in that feeling, the bhava, the ecstasy, was that Krishna was always present with them by his leela or pastimes. Since Krishna departed from Vrindavan to Mathura, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Srimati Radharani, the gopis and the cowherd's boys, they were simply thinking of Krishna in every state. They are feeling that Krishna was playing in this way here, Krishna was blowing his flute in this way here, Krishna was joking with us in this way, Krishna was embracing us like this way. So this Leela Smaran, this Leela Smaran association of Krishna is a most recommended factor by great devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya, he was also enjoying this Leela Smaran association of Krishna when he was at Puri. In other words, those who are on the most exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy, they can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given us one transcendental literature of the name Krishna Bhavanamritam. Krishna Bhavanamritam. This Krishna Bhavanamritam is full with Krishna's pastime, and those who are in the elevated condition of devotional service, they always remain absorbed in Krishna's heart by reading such book. Any book of Krishna Lila, in this book, Krishna has teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They are actually solace for devotees who are feeling the separation of Krishna. So the summary is that Krishna and Balaram did not come back to Vrindavan. Can we adjust it that they did not break their promise, neither they were absent, but their presence was necessary in Mathura. In this way, things were going on. In the meantime, Uddhava, a cousin brother of Krishna, he was the son of Vasudeva's brother and almost contemporary to Krishna, and his bodily feature was almost exactly resembling Krishna. He came to see Krishna from Dwarka, and Krishna, after returning from his teacher's home, he was pleased to see Uddhava, who happened to be his most dear friend also. He wanted to send him to Vrindavan to send some message to the residents of Vrindavan on account of their deep feelings of separation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Jīra-thāmāṁ prapandanti, Krishna is very, very responsive. He responses in proportion to the advancement of devotional service of the law. As such, the gopis were thinking of Krishna 24 hours in separation. Similarly, Krishna was also thinking of the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan, Maharaj Yasoda, Nanda, always, although he appeared to be away from them. So he could understand how much they are transcendentally agreed. So immediately he wanted to send Uddhava to give them some message of solace. This Uddhava is described as the most exalted personality in the Vrishnis dynasty, almost equal to Krishna, and he was a great friend, and on account of his being directly the student of Brihaspati, who happened to be the teacher and the priest in the heavenly planet, he was very, very intelligent and sharp decision. But in spite of his being highly qualified in so many ways, from intellectual point of view, Krishna, being a very, very loving friend of Uddhava, he wanted him to send, to go to Vrindavan just to study the highly elevated, ecstatic, devotional service of the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. In other words, even if one is highly elevated in material education, just as to become the direct disciple of Brihaspati, still how to love Krishna to the highest point, one has to learn from the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. So this was a special favor of Krishna towards Uddhava, therefore he decided to send him to Vrindavan with some message to be delivered to the residents of Vrindavan so that he may, they may be a little bit pacified.
Next paragraph. Krishna's name is Hari, which means one who takes away all the distress conditions of the surrendered souls. The gopis of Vrindavan were the exemplary imitation of surrendered soul, so much so that Lord Chaitanya accepts that there cannot be any better type of worshipment as it was conceived by the gopis. So Krishna, being very much anxious for their agreement, one day he talked with Uddhava, and with great politeness he requested him to go to Vrindavan, setting his hands with his hands, and he spoke as follows: "My dear gentle friend Uddhava, please go to Vrindavan immediately and try to pacify my father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. And the gopis are very much agreed, so much so they are as if suffering from a great ailment. So if you go and give them some message, I hope their ailments may be partially relieved. The gopis are always absorbed in my thought. Their life and soul I am. They have dedicated their everything, including body and desire, for me. Not only the gopis, anyone who sacrifices everything, namely society, friendship, love, personal comforts, for him, I am very much anxious, and it is my duty to protect such exalted devotees. To the gopis, I am the dearest than the dearest, and they are always thinking of me in such a way that they remain always overwhelmed in anxiety on account of separation from me. On account of my separation, the gopis are living almost dead, but they are keeping their vital. But still they are in living condition simply by thinking that I am returning back very soon." Next paragraph. Thus being requested by Lord Krishna, Uddhava immediately carried his message to Gokula, where Nanda Maharaj was living on his chariot. Thus he approached Vrindavan at the sunset of the day when the cows were returning home from pasturing ground, and his chariot was covered by the dust raised by the hoofs of the cows. Uddhava saw in the blocks of the cows the bulls were running after mating, the mature cows and other cows being overladen with milk in their bags were running after the calves to feed them with milk. Uddhava saw that the whole land of Vrindavan was full with white cows and their calves, and there was regular sound of milking. All the cows were thus engaged, running here and there, all over Gokula. Every residential house in Vrindavan were very much decorated for worshipping the sun god, the fire god, receiving guests, cows, the Brahmins, the demigods, and every home was illuminated with light and incense in great sanctified position. All over Vrindavan there were nice gardens full with flowers and humming sound of the bees and birds, and the lakes were full with lotus flowers surrounded by ducks and swans. In this way, when Uddhava entered the house of Nanda Maharaj, he immediately received him as a representative of Vasudev, and offered him nice place, and also sat down with him to ask him about the messages of Krishna and Balaram and other family members in Mathura. He could understand that Uddhava was great confidential friend of Krishna, therefore he must have had come there with some good messages.
my dear Uddhava, please tell me how my friend Vasudev now enjoying life. He is now released from the cantonment of Kamsa, and he is now with his friends and children, Krishna and Balaram, must be very, very happy, and let me know about him
and his welfare. We are also very much happy that the Kamsa, the most sinful demon, is now killed. He was always envious to the family of the Jodhus and his friends and relatives. Now, on account of his own sinful reaction, he is dead and gone along with his all brothers. Also, please let us know whether Krishna is remembering his father, mother, here, his friends and companions in Vrindavan. Does he like to remember his cows, his gopis, his Govardhan hill, his pasturing ground in Vrindavan nowadays? Or has he forgotten all this now? Is there any possibility of his coming back to see here his friends and relatives, so that we can again see his beautiful face with raised nose and lotus-like eyes? We are simply remembering about Krishna, how he saved us from the forest fire, how he saved us from the great snake Kaliya in the Jamuna, how he saved us from so many other demons. And we simply think of him, how much obliged we are for his giving us protection from so many dangerous positions. My dear Uddhava, when we think of Krishna, about his beautiful face, eyes, and about his different activities here in Vrindavan, we become so much overwhelmed that actually all our other activities become stunted. We simply think of Krishna, how he used to smile, how he was looking upon us with grace, and that we become stand still from any other activity. When we go on the banks of the Jamuna and other lakes of Vrindavan, or we go near the Govardhan Parvat or the pasturing field, we see the impression of Krishna's footprints on the surface of the earth, and immediately we remember him, how he was playing in those places, because he was constantly visiting such places. In this way, when his appearance within our mind becomes manifest, we immediately become absorbed in thought of Krishna. We think, therefore, Krishna and Balaram may be some of the chief demigods in the heaven, and just to execute some particular duties on the earth, they have appeared before us just like ordinary boys, and this was foretold by Gargamuni while making Krishna's horoscope sometimes back. Otherwise, how Krishna could kill Kamsa, who possessed the strength of 10,000 elephants? And besides him, there were other very strong wrestlers, as well as the giant elephant
of the name Kuvalayapi, and all these animals and demons were killed by him, exactly like the lion kills some ordinary animal. Oh, how wonderful it is that Krishna took in his one hand the very heavy and big bow, exactly made of three palm trees jointly, and he broke it very quickly. And how wonderful it is that continually for 7 days he held up the golden heel in one hand. How wonderfully he has killed all the demons like Prarambasu, Dhenukasu, Parishtasu, Sinavartasu, Bakasu, who were so strong that even the demigods and the high planets were afraid of them. But still, Krishna killed them as easily as anything. That's right. In this way, Nanda Maharaj, while he was describing the uncommon activities of Krishna before Uddhava, gradually he became so much overwhelmed with the thoughts that he could not speak anymore, but he remained stuck. And what to speak of Mother Yashoda, she was sitting by the side of her husband and was hearing the pastimes of Krishna. She also, without expressing anything from the mouth, she was simply crying, and incessant torrents of tears were gliding down from her eyes, and incessant torrents of milk was pouring down from her breast. When Uddhava saw Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda both extraordinarily overwhelmed with the thoughts of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and experienced their extraordinary affection for Krishna, he also became overwhelmed and began to speak as follows. My dear Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you are most respectable amongst the human beings, because nobody except you can fix his mind in transcendental ecstasy like you. Both Balaram and Krishna are the original personalities of Godhead, from whom the cosmic manifestation has taken place. He is the chief amongst all other personalities. Both of them are the material and effective causes of this material creation, and the material nature and its conductor, the Purusha incarnation. They are all acting under Krishna and Balaram. By their partial representation, they are entered in the heart of all living entities, and they are the source of all knowledge. Krishna is the source of all knowledge, and he is the source of all forgetfulness also. He is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, wherein it is stated that I am saying in everyone's heart, from me one remembers and from me one forgets. I am the original compiler of the Vedas, and I am the actual knower of the Vedas. Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if a person at the time of death, even for a moment, can fix his pure mind upon Krishna, then immediately he becomes eligible to give up this material body and appear in his original spiritual body, exactly like the sun rises with all illumination. And thus, passing his life in this way, immediately he enters into the spiritual kingdom, Vaikuntha. This is the result of
Krishna consciousness practice, while we have got our living condition in this body, and we are in healthy condition and good modes of mind, if we practice Krishna consciousness simply by chanting the holy Mahamantra Hare Krishna, then there is every possibility of fixing our mind upon Krishna at the time of death. And if that is done, then our life becomes successful without any doubt. Similarly, if we keep our mind always absorbed in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, then naturally, at the time of death, we shall think of such activities and again be entered into a material condition body to suffer the threefold miseries of material existence. To remain therefore always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, if not to the standard of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, as exhibited by Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda and other gopis, if we can simply follow their footsteps, even to the proportion of a minute portion, our life will surely become successful for entering into the spiritual kingdom, Vaikuntha. And as Maharaj Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you have thus fixed up your mind wholly and solely upon that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in his transcendental form, because of impersonal Brahma, because the Brahma effulgence is only bodily rays of Narayana. And because you are always compact in ecstasy in the thought of Krishna and Balaram, what else pious activity remains to be done by you? I have brought the message from Krishna that he would very soon come back again to Vrindavan and satisfy you both by his personal presence. Krishna promised that he would come back to Vrindavan after finishing the business in Mathura, that he would surely fulfill. I therefore request you both, who are the greatest amongst all fortunate, that you may not be very much aggrieved on account of Krishna's absence in Vrindavan. You are already perceiving his presence 24 hours, and still he will physically also come and see you very soon. Actually, he is present everywhere and in everyone's heart, exactly like fire is there in every wood. Krishna, being the super soul of every entity, for him nobody is enemy or nobody is friend, nobody is equal to him, nobody is lower than him or higher than him or equal to him. As such, actually, he has no father, mother, brother or relative. Neither does he require any society, friendship and love, nor he has got any material body like us. As such, he never appears or takes birth just like ordinary human being from father and mother. He does not appear in higher or lower grades of species of life like ordinary living entity who are forced to take birth on account of their previous fruitive activity. Still, he appears by his internal potency just to give protection to his devotee. He is never influenced by the most material nature. Still, when he appears within this material world, it seems that he is also acting like an ordinary living entity under the spell of three modes of material nature. In fact, he is the overseer
of this material creation and without being affected by the material modes of nature, he creates, maintains, and dissolves the whole cosmic manifestation. We wrongly think of Krishna Balaram as if an ordinary human being, exactly like a wheeling man, on account of his wheeling position, sees the whole world wheeling round him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is nobody's son, but he is actually everybody's father, mother, and the Supreme Controller, without any doubt. Within this cosmic manifestation, whatever is being experienced, whatever is not being experienced, whatever is already in existence, or whatever is not in existence, or whatever will be in existence in future, whatever is the smallest and whatever is the biggest, everything has no separate existence without being supported by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, everything is resting in him. Still, he is out of touch of everything manifested. Nanda Maharaj and Uddhava thus passed the whole night talking about Krishna like this. And at the end of the night, early in the morning, the gopis prepared for Mangalarathri. Thus they lighted up their lamps and sprinkled over water mixed with sugar. After finishing their Mangalarathri, immediately they engaged themselves in the business of churning butter from the sugar. While the gopis were engaged in churning butter, the lamps reflected on the ornaments on the body became still more illuminated, and because they were pulling on the ropes fixed up in the churning rod, their arms, their earrings, their bangles in the hand, their breath, everything was moving, and on account of kumkum powder being spread over their body, the luster of their face became compared with the rising sun in saffron color. While churning the butter, they are also singing the glory of Krishna. And the two kinds of sound vibration mixed together will rise up to the sky and thus sanctifying the whole atmosphere. After this, immediately after the sunrise, as usual, these gopis came to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to offer their respects. But when they saw at the door the golden chariot of Uddhava, they began to inquire amongst themselves what was that chariot and to whom it belonged. Some of them inquired if Akrura, who took away Krishna, has again come here. They were not very much pleased with Akrura because being engaged in the service of Kamsa, he took away Krishna. The lotus eye carried to the city of Mathura. All the gopis conjectured that Akrura might have come again to fulfill another evil plan, but they said, we are now dead bodies without our Supreme Master Krishna, and what further harm he can commit on this dead body. While they were talking amongst themselves in this way, Uddhava also by this time finished his morning ablutions and morning prayers, chanting, etc., and came before them. That's where thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Parpar of the 46th verse, chapter, Krishna, in the matter of Uddhava's visiting Vrindavan.